Mike and I and the gang are just sitting here watching the Siegfried and Roy special, which I kept looking for all night last night.
Yeah.
Where is it?
I know. It was plain as day. I was looking in the newspaper yesterday in USA Today. Plain as day, 9 p.m., Channel 4. All the promos that they were running on Channel 4 endlessly were tonight, the whole bit.
Well, apparently, did they run a Ryder Cup special at 8? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they ran they had a Ryder Cup special, and well, Channel 7 did also. But, you know, I'm still amazed that that would have affected that programming.
Well, Dump Hawaii or Dump Law and Order. Yeah, well, Law and Order's a great show.
Yeah, but still, this is a special show. It's a unique thing. It was really, really written up.
They couldn't dump Wheel of Fortune in the Ken Jennings show.
So they didn't dump Ken Jennings?
No, or Wheel of Fortune. They played those at 8.
Oh, no, you're kidding me.
See, that's absolutely ridiculous.
Ken Jennings at 8:30?
They played Wheel of Fortune at 8 and the Ken Jennings show at 8:30.
Oh, my God.
And the thing
God.
Of it is, the only way you would even know as to what was going on, I thought if nothing else, they would run a crawl underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, saying that Siegfried and Roy will air, you know, but the only reason why I knew about it was a slight blurb during the Channel 4 news when they did a quickie little special on it and then said, Drew, you could miss it in a split. I mean, it was one sentence where they said the Siegfried and Roy will air at 3:02 a.m. And you know, isn't this the same Channel 4 that blew out? Was it Dateline or one of those things for Give Me the Mic or whatever?
Yes.
I mean, there's some bizarre programming decisions made locally and nationally.
We would land in Dateline an hour into the show not knowing what in the hell was going on Sunday night because that Give Me the Mic was on starring Chuck Gatica.
Yeah, which blew my mind that they would upset a national show for something that goofy.
Well, they must have been making a lot of money on that local show. That's
must
for sure,
have been.
Because it's low cost.
I've never seen anybody play so fast and loose with programming in my life. Usually television is pretty rigid.
This show was publicized nationally like
nothing else. Huge.
Hey, Mark, you want to run ahead to where we can actually watch Roy talk and hear him? They're doing a reenactment of the night, which, how was the reenactment, by the way?
It's pretty amazing.
Is it really?
Yeah, they have audience members.
Should we watch that?
I think it's worth watching.
Okay, well, let's take a look at that, because I'm sure a lot of people wanted to watch this show.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Didn't know where it was and don't know how to find it yet.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, while Mark's hunting that down, I want to tell you that we got Nikki Ziering this morning, Ian's ex, and also the star of shows such as I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Playboy model.
Jeez.
And you know what? She's a pretty sweet girl. We've talked to her before. I really liked her when we talked to her. I mean, not because I think that she's, you know, beautiful, which she is, but
she's got big boobs, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
There you go.
Well, they're enhanced.
There you go.
Not that doesn't make them big, but I think she's just, I thought she was a nice chick. I'll just leave it at that. But back to Siegfried and Roy, and here's the reenactment of the night in question from Channel 4 at 3 o'clock in the morning.
He said, you know, I'd like you to meet my friend. This is his first show, so he's a little nervous.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, great. It's this cat's first time on stage. Look at how big that thing is.
Montecor was 400 pounds of pure muscle, but it wasn't his first time on stage. That was just a line Roy used to boost the drama.
This is Montecor.
Is this tape from the actual night?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
To a particular spot on center stage.
They said.
Following the script, the tiger would kiss and nuzzle Roy and be rewarded with a treat. The two would then walk off stage left.
She left the part where he fantasizes about Siegfried when he's kissing
the lion. He didn't follow the routine.
Now.
The tiger started walking away from Roy.
There was some sort of commotion between the tiger and Roy. Something happened.
What happened next remains unclear. Everyone in the theater had a slightly different take. But the fact is, by the time they reached center stage, both Roy and Montecor were out of routine. To get Montecor's attention and back into routine, Roy used his standard technique.
You noticed Roy tapping the tiger on the snout with the microphone.
Oh.
By this time, time, Siegfried and several animal handlers had started moving in to help Roy.
Uh-oh.
And that's when the tiger grabbed Roy's arm.
They knew
when
it.
When Roy ordered the cat to release his arm, he did. But for whatever reason, Roy began to fall. Montecore then leaned into Roy and picked him up by the neck.
Oh.
The tiger bit him on the neck and just trotted off stage.
Very nonchalantly, matter-of-factly. There was no blood. There was no screaming.
There were no signs of struggle. Roy did not flail about or scream. It was eerily quiet.
Oh, my God.
But not backstage, where crew members faced a horrifying sight. Montecore, now back in routine, was headed to his cage, but was carrying Roy right along with him.
Oh, by the neck.
Running downstage.
Acting on pure adrenaline, crew members jumped into action.
When I got down there, I immediately grabbed Montecore by the tail and shifted his weight upstage.
Using a nearby fire extinguisher, another crew member startled the cat.
It's cold. It's loud.
Oh, hit him with a fire extinguisher.
I hear somebody say he's free.
And the moment he was, an electrician raced to Roy's aid.
All I knew from then on is that I started life saving.
Yeah, get an electrician, by all means. Get an electrician.
Everywhere. I started
Why?
Moving his hair out of the way, and I could see where the blood was coming from.
There was a major gash here in his throat that I plugged with my left hand.
Oh,
pandemonium.
As stagehands worked furiously backstage to staunch the flow of blood, a frantic Siegfried moved to the other side of
no
the curtain.
No medical people there.
Audience sitting in stunned disbelief.
Here comes Siegfried, visibly upset.
He said, "Pause for a second. Rush. I'm sorry, we're going to have..."
Now, imagine this. Okay, first of all, let's not be idiots about this. These guys are lovers. They have been for a long time.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's well documented. Even on
I haven't seen chemistry like that since Rosie.
Documentaries with them, even their own documentaries. It's plainly obvious that they have a relationship. I mean, the furnishings, the way they talk, the way they interact. I mean, it's pretty obvious. But hey, they're a great couple.
Yeah,
they suit each other very well.
I don't care. I mean,
I don't
fine.
Care. Hey, I've always said as long as nobody gets hurt, I don't care.
They got a great life together. This guy's lover has just been bitten and carried across the stage. He knows this horrific thing is going on, and yet he's got to address the stage. Can you imagine how hard that must have been for him at that moment?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, all gay jokes aside and all that baloney, but
not to mention,
can you imagine, you know, your wife or your husband being dragged across the stage like that, and you are part of this act.
Exactly, and you do have to explain it to the audience. That's just it. I mean, they're all out there. They've paid their money. They don't understand what's happened. So, yeah, and so not only is that like the equivalent of somebody's spouse, but also, I mean, these guys, I mean, look at, they came together when they were little kids, basically, and had an entire lifetime together. And he doesn't know. For all he knows, Roy's going to die. He doesn't know.
Doesn't it sound like the tiger thought he was hurt and just wanted to take him backstage to his cage and take care of him?
Kind of sounds like that.
They say that the tigers, they carry their young like that, and they'll carry somebody injured away like that, so that tiger, it was just simply doing what it does. It takes him by the neck. You know how the mother kitten drags the other kitten around by the neck? That's all he was doing.
Yeah, they were scared
he didn't know.
They were scared of the lady with the beehive haircut.
That
story was floating around, and people were acting as if it was really a possibility.
I was looking in the reenactment for one of the reenactments.
The beehive?
That have a beehive haircut.
I'm a little incredulous that Siegfried was able to collect himself and address the audience. But anyway, let's move on. I just wanted to point out how...
Right, either the curtain's going up, and this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, or Roy's really hurt.
Roy was, in fact, bleeding to death behind the curtain as quick-thinking crew members tried to apply pressure to his wounds.
The whole time we were doing this, he's like, "I got to get up. I got to go to my dressing room." And we're like, "No, Roy, you need to sit right here. We need you to stay right here."
At 8:19 p.m., in the midst of chaos, a calm call to 911 went out for help.
We need paramedics at the Siegfried Roy Theater.
Aren't you surprised there's no medical people on staff right there also?
Yeah.
The stagehands would have had to dealt with that emergency.
He said Roy was bitten by a tiger, by the way, through that call. Yeah, I'm very surprised.
Animal bite.
Rescue 12 responded to the Mirage Hotel on the 421 Delta. Response, an animal bite.
Rescue 12, copy.
8:24, less than 4 minutes after getting the call, the paramedics arrived.
Wow, that's fast.
There was three or four people sitting on him, holding him down and applying pressure to his neck.
As the team from Rescue 12 did its best to dress Roy's wounds, transport paramedics from Southwest Ambulance also arrived and took in the scene.
There was nothing that we could really do for him on scene there. He needed to be in the trauma center.
8:31, just 12 minutes after the call for help was placed, Roy was on an ambulance and going into shock.
This patient is going downhill and he's going down fast.
Paramedics radioed ahead, preparing the trauma team for what to expect.
Roy was splashed by his own tiger across his neck. He's unable to maintain his own airway. He is altered, unable to speak. They're unable to get a blood pressure at this time.
Oh, they couldn't get a blood pressure.
But as they raced Roy through the back...
No blood pressure.
Unexpected problem arose.
A train... What's the chance of that?
Now blocked their path, potentially robbing Roy of minutes he could not spare.
I can't believe that.
The driver spun around, quickly choosing another route. At 8:39, just 20 minutes after the ordeal began, the ambulance pulled into the trauma center.
Oh, my God, I can't believe the train.
They were literally running into the trauma center.
My last image of Roy, he was laying on the bed.
In my mind, he's taking his last couple breaths.
Unable to breathe and having lost much of his blood, the moment everyone feared was imminent.
He's dying with each tick of the clock.
Despite intense efforts by doctors to save him, at 8:42, only 2 minutes after arriving at the trauma center, Roy Horn's vital sign crashed.
Wow.
Roy Horn's 59th birthday ended in tragedy. A man who had mastered magic in life would now need a miracle to save him from death.
They got him there. They got him there 20 minutes after
from
being dragged
incident.
From the stage with the whole train debacle. So that's
fantastic.
Pretty amazing.
And of course, the thing of it is you know, since your circulatory system is the closed system, right? So mm-hmm. when you open that up. There's going to be no blood pressure, right? You know what I mean? Because the heart's pumping. With each pumping of the heart, you got blood just pouring out.
Right.
So you're going to lose all, like water pressure, right? There's a break in the water line or a brake line. So, God almighty, isn't that incredible? And he had no airway because the tiger bit right into his throat that far.
Unable to speak.
Yeah.
Unable to breathe.
Oh, my God.
It's a long time without breathing. I mean, this guy... watching him talk, I'm pretty impressed. Well, here, let's listen to him.
Yeah. Because they must have had to rebuild his vocal cords and everything, huh?
Yeah.
And his airway.
I'm amazed that he's as well as he is.
Beautiful. The sunshine for all of us.
You feel like you're on top of the world.
Yes. I'm ready for the Tour de France.
In spite of everything he's been through,
struggles
Roy still
a
manages
bit, doesn't
to face
it?
Each day optimism and his incredible sense of humor.
Head.
That's good when it hurts, because then you know it's working.
I never heard something so ridiculous.
Therapy has replaced show business as Roy's full-time job.
Lift your foot up for me. Roy said to me last night this is his second job.
Ooh. Yeah. Except the pay is lousy.
The pay is lousy.
Definitely.
11, 12.
With an armed therapist pushing him daily,
what about the last seven?
Roy is at the center of what he calls rehab boot camp.
He looks like a doll.
He does. He looks totally plastic. His face is really shiny. The color is weird.
Ah! The old hospital is empty now.
Yeah.
They all run away because this is such a shame.
You know what? He can't move his neck either. You notice how he's real rigid?
Yeah. Roy puts himself through the paces at Health South Rehabilitation
Hospital. That's what it is. He doesn't move his neck at all.
No matter how hard the work, he will do whatever it takes to gain independence and improve his chances of walking on his own.
This time, when you put your foot on the X, shift all your weight over.
Why is his walking and all that stuff affected?
Concentrate
the throat bite. Brain damage. Oh.
It is a harsh reality for Roy that when progress comes, it doesn't come easy.
Not all the days are good days. There's a lot of stones in the road.
Pause that for a second. I wanted to mention something. We've read a lot about how this rehab is going. A few rehab people apparently have had to quit because he was so difficult and so angry. And, you know, understandably, this guy, if you can imagine...
Oh, proud man.
...having a life like he had and then being reduced to this. And Siegfried himself literally had to remove himself from the situation at one point because he couldn't stand the bitching.
Yeah.
And moved him out of the Vegas house. They supposedly had separate wings, you know.
Who knows?
But I don't think he any longer lives in that house, does he, Mark?
Is that right? I'll be darned.
I'm not sure, but at one point they were claiming that they literally had to move him out because they just, it was so upsetting, and they couldn't get along because, you know, Siegfried was trying to encourage him. Mm-hmm. Ray would get angry with him because he was trying his hardest. And,
yeah.
You know, we've seen this, I don't know if you saw the thing on Rebuilding the Family, where they had the father who smoked and said he quit smoking if his kid learned to walk again after he'd been in this accident. And the kid started to walk a little bit, and it wasn't good enough for the dad, so he didn't quit smoking, and the kid was appalled because here he tried so hard. Well, anyway, it's a kind of an analogy, but anyway, what a difficult, you know, impossible thing this is to go through this rehab where, you know, you literally want to have a party because a guy takes a 2-inch step, and at the same time, that's all it is. You know, it's not even anything close to living compared to what he used to have.
Yeah, and look at his lifestyle the way it was before, and look at now, you know. And, of course, when you're in a medical environment, nothing is sacred, right? I mean, half the time you're nude. Everybody knows everything about you. You're just reduced to rubble. But you also have to appreciate Siegfried, who has stayed with him to the bitter end, and encourages him, is side by side with him all the way. I mean, there's some people, they can't take it and ends up in a divorce. They leave the person, all of that. His support has been just unwavering and terrific.
Well, I'm sure that's what Roy Horn is living for.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
What is there anything more we should take a look at quickly before we move
boy,
on?
But he looks like he's in tough shape, though. He can't move his neck. The one eye is strange. He's breathing weird.
How about the plastic surgery, though? I mean, can you imagine? They must have had the best people work on him.
Yeah.
And he looks close to what he used to look like.
Yeah.
But you're right. He looks like it's not a human face. It looks like a doll face or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the strangest thing.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Well, here they're doing some rehab now.
Louder. All right.
Roy's therapist, Mindy Conklin and Danielle Morecambe, say the will of this former athlete is daunting.
If I can do it, everybody can do it.
And when Roy moved his paralyzed left leg for the first time, it was a monumental breakthrough.
This is phenomenal, Roy.
The look on his face was, you can tell, he's like, okay, this is really...
Oh, that hat has to go. Put him in that hat?
Mark just said to me, it's amazing how he can still get dressed so gay.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he's saying it matter.
Hey, give that soccer ball a decent kick.
Yeah. Look at how clumsy the foot is.
To achieve them.
Oh, boy, the brain damage is just intense.
Yeah, it's just bad.
Every inch of my being.
God, man, he really was. He basically died on the table for a second.
All those things that you did as a baby.
All right, you're doing it, man.
And now he's got to focus and actually do it as an adult. With a side of the body that doesn't want to listen.
He's doing this exercise that, like a 3-year-old with a Fisher Price set of donuts, you know, on a rung would perform. I mean, how humiliating.
Oh, I know it.
And impossibly difficult and embarrassing this must be.
I know the high tech. When you look at the high tech tricks that they used to do, and now it's just the simplistic 2-year-old type toys.
I just like listening to words of encouragement from Siegfried. He should put out a tape of him just shouting, you know, phrases of encouragement.
Oh, what was he saying?
You can do it. It's just the way he talks and stuff. It's just...
Well, he's supporting him all the way.
Yeah.
God, how difficult.
Yeah, that would be awful. What pure hell. But well, he's alive, you know.
I'm sure there are a lot of people who are listening who've been through this or have had a family member go through this.
No doubt.
What an unbelievable, you know.
No doubt.
The balls, the just the guts it takes to try to come back from something like this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, every time I see Christopher Reeve, and that's what Roy's talking and his breath, his difficulty breathing reminded me of watching Christopher Reeve try to talk.
It's true.
It appears that he's really struggling to get enough breath to get words out.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because they had to probably rebuild his airway, and there's just, boy, that's strange, unless something else was affected.
It's 6:29 at WRAF. Drew and Mike, it's Thursday morning, and, God, so much has happened. You know, I've got this incredible hurricane, which we're going to hear more